Welcome to PrivCap. I'm Mike Straka. Cybersecurity has become a hot-button issue in private equity, both at the GP level and at the portfolio company level. And joining me now to talk a little bit more about this is Damien Geffert. He's the national leader of security and privacy consultant at McGladrey. So how do you define cybersecurity on the private equity level?
So it's, as you would guess, a little bit nuanced. What we try to coax a lot of our clients into thinking is there's the security at the fund level itself, at the portfolio level, and then the interaction between the two. So a lot of funds will come back and say, we don't ourselves contain a lot of sensitive data. We don't have access to a lot of sensitive systems. Usually on review, they have more than they think. And they always seem to forget that they are also an entree into some of the portfolio companies. We've seen a wide array of attacks over the last year or so of organizations that get breached through some related body. So an attacker breaches them and then works into that company. And so we're starting to see those styles of attacks at the fund level. But it really is understanding their own security, the security of their portfolio companies, and then how do they track that over time? How does it get reported back up? And so how do they manage their risk?
What are the specific risk areas? Where do you see that the targets happening? Are they after financial information, or customer information, insider trading information, things like that?
All of the above. There's obviously the ones that are going to make it to the press and get the most focus. Attackers are pure targets of opportunists, if anything. If they can find something, they'll take it and they'll figure out how to monetize it later. There really are a very small number of groups that actually go out only looking for one type of data. That's abnormal. Most of them are going to breach somebody because they can. Once they get in, they're going to figure out, what can I get to? What can I have access to? They'll steal everything and then sell it off later. In order of precedence, though, credit cards are always going to be top of the heap. So if you've got anything to do with retailers, because they're simply just easier to sell. After that, there's a whole second tier of customer PII, person identifiable information, anything they can get to, financial information. The ones that never make it into the news as part of these breaches is the attackers, while they're in, stealing all this sensitive data that you have to notify and it makes it in the news. While they're there, they get into the corporate bank accounts, ACH and wire transfer money out, stuff like that. You've seen a huge attack on health records recently and health insurance. And then we're starting to see, it's been rumored for the last several years, but hard to prove, stuff that they can trade off of. So if someone's going to buy a company and take it private, stuff like that, or for publicly traded companies, that they can get in and see their quarterly financial statements before they go public so they can sell it to somebody, get on the right side of the trade. It's really its own ecosystem at the moment.
Now, I'm sure being a programmer and you know, the IT experience you have, you know it's easy for you to find out how they got in to a certain system. But is it easy to find those backdoors that they create once they're in there?
I would actually push back. It's gotten extremely difficult in some cases for them to figure out how they've gotten in. They've gotten very, very sophisticated on some of the initial breaches, where they don't leave as many telltales as we normally would look for. So they'll put stuff in that's only memory resident, meaning it never gets written to disk on the computer. And the first thing people do when they start thinking there's a problem is reboot all the systems. Well, it destroys all the evidence. When they get in, the first thing they do is they start to what we call move laterally. So if they get in, they usually are on one system at a time. If that system gets cleaned up, taken down, whatever, they're back out of the environment. So the first thing they do is try to spread out and get as many channels back in. That is, it's a crapshoot, to put it nicely. If we're lucky, they'll use the same techniques on each system. So once we figure out the signature for one, we can look on multiple. The really very experienced attack groups, each system they compromise, they'll put in a slightly different style of backdoor, hoping that you might find 5 out of 10, but they can still get back in.
How sensitive do you and also the private equity firm have to be to the portfolio company's existing IT personnel? Because obviously people have egos and you don't want to go in there and say, dude, you got some major problems in your system. How do you sort of walk that line?
It's difficult because at a certain point you're under the gun to get it done one way or the other. And a part of that is you have to understand your relationship with those portfolio companies. And so when we work at the fund level and start coming down to the portfolio companies, we almost do a scoping and personality check with everybody before we go in of who do we talk to, how do we talk to them, how do they respond. Some people take that type of very direct assessment very well. They want someone to come in and say, this is exactly the issue, this is what you need to fix it, go. Others, when you do that, they interpret it as I'm doing a bad job, right? And they get very sensitive about it. What you more worried about is the ones that take it as a personal insult, and now they become an insider threat, let's put it that way, that they might have some angst about what you said.
So a PE firm suspects that, first of all, they're under breach. What should they do first?
If you are there, hands off, keep the state as pristine as you can, call in somebody that knows what they're doing, and the next call is probably your lawyer and insurance company.
Is there a way that you can still operate while under attack? I mean, would you recommend redundant systems, another data center somewhere else, storing stuff on a cloud? How do you continue to operate when your main systems are being attacked?
You're almost always going to have to operate while breached. There's very, very few organizations. I've only been involved in four or five in my entire career that it has been so dicey that they simply said, we're done, and they kill their network connection, and they're separated from the internet. It's extremely difficult to do that. What you're normally going to do is, if you're under breach, is if you've prepared for it correctly and you've isolated the data, you know where it's at, who has access to it, you basically really put the screws down. So you make sure that that data is almost impossible to access except for exactly what is needed. They also typically do start doing a lot of external monitoring and looking for data going back out of the environment that they don't normally do because it's so memory intensive and space intensive.
Now, let's say you're auditing a portfolio company's IT that hasn't been breached yet. When do you see red flags?
The big one is always, we'll talk about situational awareness. We show up for a group and they say, hey, come in and talk to us about security. Okay, let's do so. Before we talk about security, 90% of your security risk comes back to your data. What data do you have? Where is it? Who has access to it? When we walk in and in the first 10 minutes, we're asking those questions. Where is the sensitive data? And you start getting questions like, kind of here, kind of there, some over there, but there's copies of it everywhere. Well, who has access to it? Everybody. Well, at that point, you've already lost this battle, because what it means is if an attacker gets in, they can find copies of that data essentially everywhere. And what we try to guide them to is understand what that data is, who needs it, what the value is, and lock that down as small as possible.
What is the safest way to protect your data?
Understand where the data is. That's it. Any technology you're going to throw out there, what if I did this? There's an attack that will compromise that, period. And when you're talking about what are the most common areas of failure, people, by far. Never forget it. We keep talking about all the sexy hacking and everything that goes with it. The biggest data breaches of all times are people leaving laptops in the back of taxis, thumb drives, backup tapes, stuff like that. That still happens. Even though that's become more rare, people are still the biggest failure because of the proliferation of social engineering attacks, where one of your employees gets an email, hey, here's this UPS tracking number, and they click on the link not realizing that it's going to a website that's hosting malware. The operating system or the browser they're running is missing patches, or they're missing patches in Java, QuickTime, Adobe, anything else that's running. They hit the website, it takes over their computer, now the attacker is sitting inside, and it was really a human error. The attacker didn't throw an exploit in, the visitor went out and, or the employee went out and got the exploit and brought it back.
What government agencies or regulatory agencies are really putting the screws down on PE companies and portfolio companies to really make sure that they're secure?
Well, you're going to have two different pieces. So the portfolio companies are going to be much more of an industry focused. So you're going to see Department of Health and Human Services. If they're retailers, you're going to see the PCI Council. You're going to see a lot of stuff at the portfolio company that they are facing. And then at the PE level, you're going to have the SEC and, depending on some of the others, what's going on. But the recent SEC OCIE cybersecurity initiative caught a lot of people by surprise. They've already come out with the first round of announcements. It was very interesting. They publicly said they came out and it was more of a questionnaire and discussion format. They didn't do technical validation of the answers they were getting. So a lot of the percentages we saw in there, people saying, yes, we have this program, this technology, we do this, were higher than I think a lot of us would have guessed it would have been. I'm kind of curious what it's going to look like in the future when the SEC actually starts to validate the data. There's a lot of money at risk. I mean, this is when you're buying into those, you are accepting that you're buying at these right now at a huge premium. We've got industries where we've got, you know, we're working with private equity groups that are very heavily invested in anything to do with healthcare, health insurance, health providers, retailers, anything along those lines. They understand they could buy into that, and if that is breached when they buy it or right afterwards, they can lose that entire investment. When you're paying huge multiples for these and you're looking at buying a source of, you know, fines and lawsuits, adding security into these is now making the valuation process much more valuable to them in that space, because they're understanding that, as an example, there was a one on the West Coast a couple of years ago where they bought a group that was writing a video game. And when they acquired it before the video game went out for sale, they didn't know that a group from China had already breached them, stole the source code for the video game. So before they could get the video game to market and start to recoup their investment, the group out of China had basically gone through and just changed the name and were reselling it already at a much lower price. So they basically bought a goose egg. And so a lot of people are rolling security in, not just for the protection of, you know, the investors, the fund itself. They're trying to identify issues before they bring stuff into the portfolio.